Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome to the Living by Design show. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill, and we're going to bring my co-host on the line here, Mr. Tony Lamont.
Hello there, Kathy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're able to join us again for another wonderful show.
It is my pleasure to be here as usual.
Now, Tony, as usual, Tony and I, we want to start off by thanking, giving a great big thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. This really means so much to us, and Tony and I put our heart and soul into this show each and every week for you. And if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't enjoy what we do so much. So please keep your words of encouragement and your email notes and your support coming, because we love it. Now, the dial-in number for today's show is 646-478-3059. So if you'd like to dial in and make a comment or ask a question of one of our guests as we get further into the show, then please feel free to do that. Now, Tony, how has your week been so far?
The week has been a blessed week. It's been a very good week, a little under the weather, but I was able to get through it through some herbs and some prayers, and things
made happen. Good. I'm glad you said herbs, because that's going to be one of the things that we talk about in our show today, so I'm really excited to hear that worked for you. Now, Tony, before we get into the topic of the show, I just want to make a little comment here. Blog Talk Radio is an outstanding forum for meeting some wonderful people who are promoting outstandingly positive messages on their radio shows. And recently, I had the pleasure of meeting a young lady that does a show entitled Peas in Their Pod. And her show is, the purpose of her show is to bring awareness to missing and exploited children, which is a major crisis in our country that needs media attention. It doesn't get nearly the amount of attention that it should. And do you see that happening also, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. Being in the media for as long as I have been, one of the challenges, and it's definitely changed with the Amber Alert situation. It's a federally regulated kind of situation. When something goes, our child goes missing, it's a mandate for us to broadcast it on both radio and television. But it's still not as the community isn't as aware as they should be. I mean, we need to know more about what goes on, when it goes on. And there's so many different circumstances why children go missing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I understand that. But I really want to be able to try to bring more attention to this extremely alarming epidemic. So I wanted to introduce a little bit about Peas in Their Pod and some of the things that she's doing to help bring attention to this. She's teamed up with an organization called Saving Our Children. And Saving Our Children was created in March of 07 to address this alarming epidemic, because it's really, when she talked to me about it, I was just absolutely awestruck at the alarming rate that children go missing. Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing in this country, and that's amazing to me. And sadly, it's true. And I didn't realize that it was that bad.
Yeah, when you talk about a national, it really kind of is a national epidemic from the standpoint, but we don't look at it as an epidemic. But you think about it, every 40 seconds, someplace here in America, a child goes missing for whatever the reason. And it really shouldn't be any moments that a child goes missing. We should
always
know where those children are. What's amazing, I remember growing up as a child, and you may remember also here in Indianapolis, where I'm from, there was always at 11 o'clock a notice that went out and said, "It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?" We don't hear those kinds of things anymore because a lot of times parents don't know where their children are.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I strongly believe that every child's life is important regardless of race, socioeconomic status. That doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is they are children, and they count on us as adults to take care of them. So it's really sad when adults are sometimes the culprit for stealing them away from their families or abducting them or kidnapping them. That is really sad. And there needs to be more attention brought to that.
Yeah, and there, like I said before, there are so many different reasons. I had an opportunity to be a little closer to the topic, working with various organizations. And those organizations, we came across these kinds of numbers. And whether it's a domestic dispute between a husband and a wife or who has custody or who doesn't have custody, whether it's a young child who's decided that they don't like the environment that they're living in and they decide to run away, or if it is an abduction of some other sort where it's a child that is abducted by someone other than, or should I say by a total stranger, it still shouldn't happen. The circumstances need to change, and or if the young, if it happens, we need to know about it almost immediately so that we can help. I mean, the Amber Alert has been a tremendous, tremendous help because it's a mandate throughout this country. If a child in an area is reported missing, then the Amber Alert goes out. It's broadcast on television. It's broadcast on radio. The problem still lies that they have to be missing for a certain amount of time.
Exactly. And I mean, even though the Amber Alert is an absolutely wonderful system, but I still think there is more that can be done. So I'm going to go ahead and play this quick little public service announcement that I would love for my listeners to have an opportunity to hear. So I'm going to go ahead and put that on here real quick.
Hey, world, this is EJ Transit, and right now I need the ears of the African-American community. Some child will be reported missing in the next 40 seconds. 33% of missing children are African American. Saving our children is working to make the security of children the top priority. So please log on to www.savingourchildren.bravehost.com or www.myspace.com/HFMBC. And please help in saving our children. Because when you stop hearing my voice, another child has been reported missing. Thank you.
So I encourage everyone that is listening to my radio show to please get involved with that. The website is www.savingourchildren.bravo.com. So please, 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 if there's anything you can do to lend your support or your assistance, we are greatly in need of that. So keep that in mind. Now, Tony.
Yes.
Today's topic is very popular in both a positive and a negative way, and I am just absolutely thrilled about starting this conversation. Now, I first want to start out by saying that research shows that over 70% of Americans are obese. That's a staggering number.
I can believe that.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. That's a lot of people.
Well, I fit in that category, so I really don't have a lot of room to talk, but I'm one of those 70%. So it's easy to fit in that category. And it takes just a little bit of time to get there. And a lot of people really don't realize it doesn't take much to be considered obese.
And as far as what doctors considered in the obese, the body mass index is what they use to determine whether or not you're obese. And if your body mass index is above 25, you're overweight. And if it's anything over 30, that's considered obese. So that's how doctors determine whether or not you're obese. So you may not look like you're obese in your opinion. You may not see it in the mirror, but you actually are. So that's what our expert is going to come on and talk a little bit more about so that we can understand. And just to kind of, give my listeners a little bit about how I feel about this topic. I am a true believer in alternative remedies for whatever ails you. Now, this is just my personal opinion. I absolutely would prefer not to use traditional medicine and traditional ways of treating illness. And that's just my personal opinion, because I feel like doctors are very proficient in treating illness, and they're just not that proficient in understanding or treating wellness. So, and I know that's a personal preference, like I said, but I have a personal story that I would kind of like to share with my listeners real quick here. This is what brought me to this realization. My mother was diagnosed with cancer back in 1995, and the doctors told her at that time that she had 3 months to live and basically just sent her home to die. Even chemotherapy wasn't an option at that point because they felt like it would do no good. And we didn't want to accept that. We didn't accept that. So what we started doing is we looked for a naturopath doctor, which is someone that is proficient in not only traditional medicine but also alternative medicine. And because of the information he gave us, we listened to him, and I learned a lot about wellness and alternative remedies that would work in conjunction with your body and strengthen your immune system instead of opting to do the chemotherapy, which pretty much tears down your immune system. And 10 years later, after the doctors told her that she would probably be dead in 3 months, 10 years later, after we had, in that three-month period when he told us that, that's when we really started seeking out other alternatives and talking to naturopath doctors, and they gave us a really strict regimen that would boost her immune system, and it was working great. And 10 years later, because she was still living, of course, after that three-month period and beyond, 10 years later, she was doing just fine, and unfortunately, she kind of backed off of her health and wellness regimen, and then the cancer was in remission, but then it just kicked back in again, and so this time she opted to do the chemo, and she was dead within a three-month period of that time once she started the chemo, so I really do believe the chemo is what killed her.
Well, and I know, of course, a little bit about your story because we've had this conversation,
right.
And I know your dedication to natural medicines or looking at the natural path of doing things. And you've kind of converted me. We've had many conversations about using
right.
herbs and using
right.
the natural method and all the things that are tied to this and tied to that, and you have to take this to counteract that. And I can absolutely see how those kinds of things work. And the thing that I've learned from you, amazingly, is the fact that those herbs are actually the medicines that the doctors really get the medications from. They're just in a reduced form, or this has been added on to it, or this has been tied
exactly.
to that.
Exactly. When these pharmaceutical companies are trying to create a new drug, they will actually look for an herb first, and then they'll do their synthetic additions to it and turn it into something that it wasn't meant to be. It's a natural alternative, and then they turn it into a synthetic drug, which works against your body, and that's why so many of these drugs cause all these side effects, because they're just not meant to address the bottom line problem, which is your body being well, your mind, body, spirit, everything is supposed to work in conjunction. And the only reason I'm even bringing this up is because when we talk about health and wellness, it's all interrelated. Your physical, your spiritual, your mental, everything is interrelated. Your stress level, everything is interrelated, and all of these things work in conjunction. And unless that's in balance, you're not going to be healthy, you're not going to lose weight, you're not going to be able to do anything health-related. All of these diet and these fad diets on the market that carry these claims of being able to lose weight, and if you take this pill, you'll be able to lose so many pounds without exercise and without changing your diet. That is nothing but a scam to get your money. And I encourage you all, don't buy into the hype, because that's all it is. The diet pill industry is a multi-billion dollar industry that is there specifically to make money. I don't know very many people that have actually had success in losing weight from one of those fad diets. So I would say stay away from it.
Well, and what's always amazing to me is when you hear the commercials about the diet pills or you hear the commercials about the fad diets, they always add with exercise.
Absolutely.
They always add the term with exercise.
Absolutely.
Well, the truth is it all works with exercise.
That's right. That's
so if
right.
you put the exercise into it and you watch what you're eating, that's what makes the difference.
Yes, absolutely. So I am going to just introduce my guest here real quick. Tanya is a very, very good friend of mine, and she is extremely knowledgeable in her area of expertise. And she has been doing – she's been a health and wellness coach for many years, and I'll let her give you a little bit more about her background when she comes on here. But she believes that renewal is the foundation of wellness, and I absolutely agree with her on that. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Tanya on the line. Tanya, can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. How are you doing this evening?
Great. Hi, Tony.
Hi there, Tanya. How are you? Glad to have you on this evening.
Thank you.
Good, good, good. I'm so glad you were able to join us. We're very excited about this topic. I have had so many people that have emailed me and asked questions, and, you know, they're just dying to hear your information about health and wellness and some of the strategies and tips that you can give on how to improve your situation. And I know you've had a personal story of your own that, you know, if you want to share that with us, that'd be great. So I'll let you tell us a little bit about what you do, and then we'll go into some questions and answers. And I'm sure our callers are chomping at the bit already trying to dial in with questions.
Well, I hope so. I'm looking forward to our discussion. Well, I am a wellness coach as well as a writer, focusing on holistic health and wellness, primarily for women, but I do have a few men that I work with. So, Tony, I may be able to help you out as well.
Thank you.
So a wellness coach is actually sort of a cheerleader, a challenger, and sometimes even, you know, a close friend that will help you think about and realize what your wellness vision is. A lot of times I hear people say, I want to lose weight, or, you know, I want to do this. And really it's a deeper reason and a deeper goal that they have other than just reducing a pant size. You know, maybe they want more energy so they can run around with their children. Maybe they're having problems bending and lifting, getting in and out of a car, and that's right. really what they want to see improvements in. So a wellness coach will help you realize and think about what it is you really, really want as it pertains to your wellness, and then help you take small, simple steps to actually make that vision a reality.
That's great. That's absolutely wonderful. Now, Tanya, I know you've had some personal experiences yourself with what made you actually come about into this profession, and, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I grew up in the South and still live in the South. I live in North Carolina, so, you know, we eat very well down here.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, just grew up around very rich foods, desserts, fried foods, heavy starches. Right. And then on the flip side of that, you know, I ran around and played and so forth as a kid. But as I got older, you know, a teenager and then going off to college, I became more sedentary because that's pretty much what I saw the women in my family doing. You know, they worked hard, but as far as really getting some exercise or some movements, particularly to strengthen their body and maintain their weight, I really didn't see that. So as I got older and, like I said, went to college and graduate school, the pounds packed on, and I became, you know, more and more sedentary. Met my husband, and he had just got out of the military, so, you know, he was buff and running a couple of miles every day and doing sit-ups and that type of thing, and I just started doing a few things with him, walking with him, doing one push-up with him, one
yes.
sit-up with him, because that was pretty much all I could do, and gradually just really started to noticed the change in my body and actually began to like the change. You know, it feels much better to have a lot of energy and to be more flexible and mobile than, you know, suffering from low energy and feeling bloated and full all the time.
Right.
So as I began to gradually transition and transform my lifestyle, of course, other women began to ask questions. You know, how did you do this? How did you lose weight? When did you start jogging? How far do you walk? And just started informally coaching women and helping them make some changes in their life just based on the changes that I had made. And then eventually just decided to really do it in a more professional sense, and that's when I pursued my wellness coaching certification.
Excellent. Actually, we've got someone in the chat room, Tanya, that wants me to tell you that another North Carolinian said hello.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Her name is Beverly, and she's from North Carolina as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, isn't that great? So I wanted to ask you about stress. Now, I know stress is a chronic energy drainer.
Yes.
And what are some of the ways that women can better manage their stress levels? Because you know it wreaks havoc on all of our lives.
It really does. And I think the first thing to realize is that life is stressful. You know, I hear a lot of, professionals and experts give you suggestions on how to eliminate stress. You can't eliminate stress. What you can do is you can reduce stress and you can manage stress.
Right.
But trying to avoid stress, you'll kill yourself first. I mean, it won't happen. Because, like I said, life is stressful. So I think the first thing you can do is to focus on things other than stress, because the more you focus on it, the more stress you will have. I believe in what you think about, you bring about. The first thing to do is to focus on increasing your energy, because the more energy you have, the stronger you feel, then you'll be able to sort of balance out the stress that you're having, because a lot of the chronic illnesses are coming from an imbalance of stress. It comes from chronic stress, just day in, day out, just that pounding stress on our bodies. So we need to take time to counterbalance that, and that's where renewal comes in, because it's actually a chance to recover some of that energy that's lost from stress, so you'll be stronger and able to, you know, deal with some of the hurdles and battles that you have to deal with every day.
Now, when you say counterbalance, can you explain that a little bit more? Are you talking about you can't avoid stress, so you're talking about maybe having some relaxation methods or...
Exactly, and I'm a visual person, so if you sort of envision a scale, just, you know, a simple scale, not an electronic scale, but, you know, actually, you know, the scale with the two sides, the two plates on each side, stress, chronic stress is just putting more and more and more and more weight on one side of the scale. So you can envision one side just sort of dropping down, you know, to the floor, and the other side raising up because it's extremely light. With recovery exercises or recovery rituals, you're actually bringing that side of the scale down a little bit, so you're balancing the stress that's on the other side. So instead of being just bombarded, you know, all day long, hour after hour after hour, until you collapse in bed at night with stress, you actually have some recovery time in there, which could be, you know, reading a couple of pages of your favorite magazine, because I realize, you know, we're busy people and we don't have an hour necessarily to sit down and read a magazine, but you can spend 5 minutes and read two or three pages. You can take some deep breaths. You can get up from your desk and maybe walk around your office floor. You know, those are the things that will help you reduce some stress and actually build some energy back into your system.
Now, I agree. Go ahead, Tony.
I was going to say, Tanya, I wanted to ask, you mentioned stress, and so many people, when it comes to that stressful situation and dealing with, they start getting into eating for comfort. Food becomes that comfort thing. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, eating for comfort and the difference between eating for comfort and eating for hunger? Because there is a distinct difference, and sometimes people mistake the two.
Or eating for
exactly.
hunger, comfort, and nutrition.
Right, right. When you're in the midst of stress, a lot of times, and particularly chronic stress, you're not mindful of you know, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, or what's going on in your environment, because you're just all caught up. So in order to really eliminate the comfort eating, you need to be mindful of, you know, of what's going on. Now, with that being said, sometimes you do eat a fudge brownie just because you want to, and you are aware, I am treating myself and I am doing this, versus, you know, inhaling the brownie and then 20 minutes later, it's like, why did I just do that?
Exactly.
You know, if you're asking yourself that question, you aren't mindful. So a lot of times what we get into, particularly with the chronic comfort eating, is that we aren't mindful and we're not thinking about what we're doing, and we're not realizing whether we're really thirsty or I'm angry or I'm depressed or I'm anxious, and instead of being mindful of exactly what it is you're feeling and what your body is trying to communicate to you, you're just, you know, filling it up with food and you're pacifying it, and really you're smothering what it is your body's trying to tell you.
Right, right, exactly.
So what I try to encourage women to do is to, you know, eat for energy, or eat for nutrition, you know, like you were mentioning, Kathy. And again, going back to the mindfulness, you're eating a piece of fruit. You're eating, you know, maybe a half a peanut butter sandwich on whole wheat, because you know that will give you a boost of energy.
Right, right. Well, and I totally, totally agree with what Tony said, because there are so many people that do eat for comfort, because I think, and I'm just guessing about this, and you can tell me, Tanya, if I'm right or wrong, but I think what people do is when they get caught up in stressful situations, like they had a bad day with their boss, or they had a run-in with one of their coworkers, or one of their family members gave them a hard time or something like that, instead of them focusing on the mental and emotional aspect of it and dealing with it from that perspective, they turn to food.
Exactly, exactly. And in those cases, they're not being, again, mindful or aware of what it is they're feeling. Like I said, they may be angry or they may be disappointed. You know, go ahead and feel those emotions. You know, it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be disappointed. It's okay to be a little bit anxious if you're getting ready to give a big presentation. You know, I encourage women, go ahead and feel those emotions, and then you're better equipped to deal with it. Don't just smother it, you know, with a candy bar or some
right.
other type of comfort food.
Right, right.
You know, Tanya, I wanted to ask, when we talk about the difference between eating for comfort and eating for hunger, there's a biological difference that happens, isn't there? Because when you're eating for hunger, something happens to you biologically that gives you the cue that this is you got to have something in your body. Talk about that a little bit, because a lot of folks don't really realize that your body tells you when it's hungry. Your mind tells you when you're eating from a comfort standpoint.
Right, and hunger is gradual. You know, you'll gradually feel yourself, you know, feeling a little, you know, emptiness in your stomach. You may hear your stomach growl a little bit. You know, that's true hunger. You know, otherwise it's very emotional, and you feel it in your heart. You feel it in your head. You just feel it. It's really an emotional type response rather than a physical response. And like I said, when you're hungry, you know, so you feel the aches and pains, and you know, it feels quite different. If you really, you know, go slow and pay attention and learn your signals, your body signals, you will easily be able to distinguish the difference. And one way to stay in control of hunger and to minimize the comfort eating is by eating several small meals a day. And that way you keep your blood sugar, you know, on an even keel, and you don't have to worry about, you know, getting to the point where you're so hungry that you're ravenous, and then the emotions tend to take over, and you know, eat two plates of food before you really realize it.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. I'm going to try to go to the line here. We've got a few callers that are trying to call in for questions. So, area code 516, you're on the line. Do you have a question? If you don't have a question, just say you don't have a question. I just want to make sure that you can hear us.
And we may have some folks that are listening online, and they can't actually, they didn't
want
to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
There
yes,
you go.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Sure. So my question is, how do you manage getting your baby weight off, you stop breastfeeding, yet you still want to keep your energy up? So right now I'm having a challenge eating balanced meals and also not eating on the go. Does that make sense? I'm eating on the go, but I'm not getting all the nutrition that I need, so I think I'm overeating. And I don't.
So you don't have the time. You don't have the time to.
Well, I think I'm adjusting. I just stopped breastfeeding, and I just went back to the gym. So I packed on 35 pounds. I've lost 50 of the 35 pounds, and now I'm trying to lose the rest.
Yeah, maybe. What's the frequency of the times you're going to the gym?
I'm going when I can, so I'm going in the morning around 9 o'clock, but I don't have a set schedule. Sometimes it's 9, sometimes it's in the evening, sometimes it's 6 a.m. I have to go when I can go.
Okay. Tanya, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I have a couple of suggestions. For one, how many times do you eat throughout the day?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
How many times do you eat per day? And that includes meals and snacks?
I think probably around four.
Four, okay.
And I'm doing mini meals.
One thing you could do is you could up that to six times.
Okay.
So try to get in three meals, and average-sized meals, and then incorporate two and possibly even three snacks.
Okay.
And your snacks should be, generally, as you know, what nutritionists tell you is to keep your snacks between 150 and 200 calories.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to do something, you want to eat several times a day to sustain your energy. And I did hear you say that you're, pretty much on the go, and I'm sure if you have a young child, you definitely are on the go. You really have to become quite skilled in taking snacks with you. I know for me, I have a little insulated lunch bag, and I tend to take that on the go, so you can take string cheese, you can buy apple slices or either, slice apples yourself and take with you, Triscuits or whole grain crackers, things like that you can take on the go, and that will keep your energy level up and keep your sugar levels from dropping.
Yeah.
And then as far as your exercise, I also heard you say that that's, not really on a regular schedule. Are you, incorporating some weight training at least twice a week and then trying to do cardio at least two or three times a week?
Yes.
Okay.
And swimming. I just started back swimming again.
Oh, that's great. Okay, swimming, that's great. So it sounds like, you're probably getting in the exercise. I really think probably if you increase the number of times you eat and still keeping your calorie count, within a relatively safe limit, but just try to increase the number of times so that your body doesn't go into starvation mode.
Thank you.
So I hope that helps.
Did that help?
No, absolutely. Thank you. Everything helps.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you so much for the call. Now, we're going to go ahead and take one more call from area code 919. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hello, Kathy. How you doing? Kathy and Tony, you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you very much.
Hey.
Excuse me, you may want to kind of turn your volume down a little bit because we're hearing a little bit of an echo.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
No problem.
How's that?
Okay.
There you go.
That's bad.
Okay. Hey, I just had a question for your guest. I wanted to know, I work out on a regular basis, but I just wanted to hear from her about counting calories in conjunction with working out, like getting on the treadmill and running and doing weightlifting and things like that. How important is counting your calories and what's the method for doing that?
Okay, I am not a nutritionist, so I really don't give a lot of advice on counting calories per se. I think you need to definitely keep your calories within a relatively normal range based on your height and your weight and the fact that you are
and the
male.
Workout schedule too.
Yeah, and your workout
because
schedule.
Because if he's burning a lot of calories, I would imagine it's going to determine how many calories he's burning versus how many calories he should be taking in.
Right. And then I think the quality of your calories is, you know, even sometimes a little bit more important than the number of calories. You know, make sure that you're getting those calories from fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, because those are the types of calories that will really give you a lot of energy and help keep you lean versus, you know, you taking in a lot of refined, you know, carbs and high-calorie foods, because then, you know, you can exercise a whole lot and you still really won't see the benefit that you're striving for. So, you know, you can count calories. I personally don't count calories. You know, I tend to listen more to, you know, my body's signals and how I feel. And you can tell whether you're getting too many calories because you start to feel sluggish and just not really on top of your game. But really pay attention to the quality of the calories that you're getting.
And one thing that you may want to do also, and I know this just from experience through the nutritionists that I've worked with in the past, is, and the example that was given to me made the most sense for me, is that the body is an engine. It's the same way that we think of the engines, combustible engines that drive our vehicles. If we put in the best kind of fuel, we're going to get the best kind of performance. If we put in the worst kind of fuel, it's going to knock and be sluggish and not run that well. And so just think of your body being the same way. Put the good things in, and you're going to get good things out. If you put the bad things in, well, it's going to make your body react that way. And in time, you'll gain the weight. You'll be sluggish. You'll be tired. And I know Kathy will agree with me on this as far as the sugar goes. Sugar is in everything, and we have to watch sugar so much in our lives that we don't pay attention to it, but it affects us so much. So, and I've had to learn that myself because I'm a sweet guy, love sweets, but I've even had to learn how to move back off of that because it's affected my engine.
Yeah, and that's very true. And if you pay attention to your body's signals and you're mindful, you know, because no one knows your body better than you do. So if you learn your signals, you'll be able to tell how your body responds. You know, like Tony was saying, if you, you know, eat fresh fruit, whole grains, lean fish, low-fat dairy versus, you know, fried food, French fries, that kind of thing, you will definitely be able to see a difference in how your body responds.
Well, I'm trying to get my six-pack back. If y'all know what I mean.
Well, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. You're working out consistently, and that's definitely an ingredient.
And don't feel bad.
I eat too much sugar. I have to have my cookies. I got to have my ice cream. I got to have all that.
But you know what? You know what? It's okay to do that. Just find healthy alternatives. There are. You ever shop at a health food store or herb store? There are healthy alternatives that are very good. I know people say, well, they may not taste as good as the real thing, but you would be very surprised. I bought some ice cream sandwiches the other day, and it was made with soy instead of ice cream, which is, you know, high in calories. And it was very, very good. I let a few of my family members taste it, and they were very, very pleased with it.
And she actually mentioned it to me, and I had an opportunity to get some of those ice cream sandwiches. And as I said, I'm a sweet guy. And so I was reluctant, but when I actually got one and tasted it, it tasted like ice cream, but it was soy.
And oh, you liked it? Good.
Much healthier. So those are the things that you can do to make a difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you'll be surprised at how your body adapts to new tastes. You know, if you give something a try one or two times, you'll be surprised how your body will adapt.
Yeah, just be open-minded and be willing to try something new, and you may be pleasantly surprised.
I agree.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. Thanks for the call.
Hey, no problem. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, Tanya, and so I want to kind of get back a little bit to this stress situation because I want to make sure everybody understands the impact that stress can have on you and some of the easy, doable ways that you can manage stress and try to eliminate some of the stress from your lives, because I hear a lot of my clients and a lot of my friends and coworkers say that, well, it's just unavoidable, and, you know, this is a habit, and it's hard a hard habit to break, And the only thing I can do is go home and have a glass of wine. And, you know, wine is okay, but that's not a healthy habit to replace it with, because if you drink alcohol every day, then that's toxic, and that messes up your body too. So what are some of the things that people can actually do, the mindset and some of the behaviors that they can adopt to try to reduce some of the stress?
Right. Well, one thing is to definitely focus on your energy level, your personal energy reservoir. And there are a number of things that you can do, and primarily it all revolves around, you know, the tried and true that we hear all the experts talk about is diet, exercise, and behavioral modification. That's the bottom line. You know, I heard your intro and you were talking about the diet pills and the fad diets. They're no good for you because it will boil down to those three things.
Right.
So, you know, what you really need to do is learn to take a break. That, by far, is one of the most effective things you can do to combat stress in any given day, is to learn to take a break. I think sometimes we're hesitant to take breaks because we think it's a sign of weakness or a sign of inefficiency, or we just think that we'll be able to get, you know, two or three more things done if we just keep on pushing ahead. But
right.
if you take a break and just get in the habit of taking a break, you know, every two and a half hours or so, you know, that will just do a tremendous, you know, just give you a tremendous jolt of energy.
Exactly.
And the thing is, you know, the bad habits that we have are just that, they're habits and they're things that we learn to do. We can also learn to do things that will help our body and energize our body and make those things habits as well. You know, you can eat certain foods to give you more energy and help eliminate stress. And we were just talking with the caller about some of the things you can try, like fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, that type of thing. Exercise is another phenomenal way to reduce stress. Exercise gives you a boost of energy. It helps to eliminate toxins from the body, helps to reduce stress hormones in the body. And then, you know, as I was mentioning, just disengaging a couple of times throughout the day to just give your mind a rest, just to
right.
silence all the chatter, all the
right.
thoughts, all the things you think you have to do, replaying the conversations that have happened, you know, drumming up conversations or things that you think will happen in the future, just disengaging for a bit to just give your mind and your body a rest. And then sleep. That's another thing
right.
that I think is just
exactly.
so undervalued, is just adequate rest per night. That will also do, you know, just tremendous job for reducing stress.
Yeah.
Tanya, I'm sorry, Kathy. Tanya, let me ask, how important, when you're making that transition from knowing that you're eating for comfort and the stress is affecting you and you're trying to make that transition, how important is keeping a, like maybe an eating log, how you have your meals and how things are going? Is that important? Because I've heard that that's a good way to find out the bad times and the bad habits that you're picking up and how you can break those habits.
Actually, Tony, keeping a food log is a really great way to see what you're eating and when you're eating and any emotions that you may have surrounding your eating in any given day. Kind of going back to what I was saying about taking a break, if you get in the habit of taking a break, you know, ever so often, it gives you an opportunity to record some of these things in your journal. You know, the number one thing I hear people say about keeping a food journal is, I don't have time, or, you know,
right.
by the time I sit down to do it at the, you know, end of the day, I don't remember everything that I've had. So, you know, if you plan to keep a, you know, a food journal, which I do highly encourage, you know, also learning to incorporate a couple of breaks throughout the day will help you stay on target with that journal, because you will be surprised how many calories, you know, you can, they can slip in your diet, you know, just by walking by someone's desk and eating two or three Hershey Kisses, or, you know, your kids come home and they want a cookie and you decide to have two or three cookies with them. You know, those calories add up, and you'll be surprised how those things sneak themselves into your diet. And another thing with the journal, you know, you don't have to keep a journal forever because, again, you know, it is time-consuming and a bit cumbersome sometimes. You know, but just keep a journal, even if you keep it for just a week, you will learn a great deal of information, and you know, you can either just keep a little notebook in your, you know, pocketbook or your backpack or you know, whatever briefcase, whatever it is that you're carrying, and if you're more, you know, electronically inclined, there are a number of free food journals as well as some, you know, paying food journals. If you want some fancy ones, of course you can pay for it, but there are a number of free online food journals that you can use that are already pre-populated with a pretty extensive database, and you can just, you know, use a drop down list and actually populate what you ate for that day.
That's true. And let me, I just want to back up one quick second and make one comment to what you said about women being able to take a break throughout the day, because I know a lot of my clients tell me, well, I don't have time or anything like that. But if you could just get control of your thoughts, because a lot of time our thoughts cause so much of our stress. And even if you're sitting at your desk and you say, oh, I've got to get this report done tomorrow, stop yourself.
Right.
Make it a point to be in control of your thoughts. Stop yourself from worrying about what is going to happen tomorrow. Focus on today. Stop that thought from coming into your head. Deep breathe. And you don't even have to take time to do that. You can sit right at your desk and do that. So there are many things that you can do that are really easy. And that reminds me, I want to make sure I get an opportunity for you to give your website here in case we have questions after the show, Tanya.
Right. And Kathy, you know, just one thing you said about, you know, your thoughts, that is so true, because who is telling you that you don't have time to jot down something in a food journal? You're telling yourself.
That's
those your thoughts that are telling
That's
you that.
Right. That's
and who
right.
tells you, okay, I don't have time to get up and you know, circle around, you know, my office floor for 5 minutes. Generally,
right.
we're telling ourselves these things. You know, who
That's
tells
right.
you I don't have time to sit down when I first walk through the door for 5 minutes? You're,
right.
you know, generally we're telling ourselves. So, I mean, I fully agree. If you get in control of your thoughts and just kind of end some of that chatter, you know, that will eliminate a lot of stress right there.
Exactly, exactly. And I know, I mean, there are the population of people that are overweight in this country is just astronomical. And do you think that a big contributor to that is eating out?
I do. I think eating out definitely contributes a huge amount. And then just our sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah,
those
true.
Two in conjunction are just, you know, just a recipe for disaster. And again, you know, when I try to encourage people to, you know, eat for energy and just, you know, really move or exercise for energy, you know, if you think about it, you'll be more inclined to just prepare a quick and simple stir fry at home, because you know that would be more nutritious and would be better fuel for your engine, to sort of steal Tony's analogy, versus, you know, going to one of these restaurants and eating, you know, this quadruple size chicken wrap with rich sauce and French fries and,
exactly.
you know, a soft drink.
Right, exactly.
If you think about it, you know, solely from the perspective of energy management, it kind of becomes a no-brainer.
Right.
You know, as to what you will eat, and you won't be as inclined to devalue cooking or preparing food at home as much as, you know, we tend to see in our culture.
Right. Now, Tanya, we're coming up on the last 10 minutes of the show, so I want to make sure that we, one, get your website in there. So if you could give our listeners your website address.
Sure. It is www.tanya.com. T-O-N-Y-A, Mitchell, M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, Peel, P as in Peter, E-E-L-E, so my full name, TanyaMitchellPeel.com.
Okay.
And my email address is info, at TanyaMitchellPeel.com.
Great. And if you have problems reaching Tanya, or if you didn't get that entire website, you can always contact me, Kathy, at chollowayhill.com. And I will make sure you get in touch with Tanya. Now, Tanya, you had mentioned earlier when we spoke that you wanted to put out a call for some stories for a project that you're working on. So in our last 10 minutes, I want you to just give a little bit of information about that, what it is you're looking for to help you with that project.
Yes. Like you said, I'm actually working on a project that I hope to incorporate into a book. And what it is the Women of Color Wellness Storybook Project. And, you know, whenever I say women of color, generally women think, okay, it's only for African-American women or, you know, other brown-skinned women. So just to clarify, women of color encompasses all women, including, you know, our white or Caucasian sisters, because, you know, I have a young son, so in a crayon box, if you get the 8-pack of crayons, you might not get a white crayon. But, you know, if you go ahead and get the Cadillac of crayons and get the 64-pack, there will be a white crayon in there typically. So, you know, white is a color. So that's
right.
Why, you know, this storybook is for all women. And what I really want to focus on are the women who realize the value of rest and recovery and renewal. So any women that have any particular renewal rituals that they do, you know, daily or every couple of days to help them counterbalance that stress that we were talking about earlier,
right.
I really want to know those stories. You know, if there's, you know, if you do a ritual of deep breathing, when you come home in the afternoon, if your family knows, okay, the first 20 minutes when I walk through the door, I'm going to go in my room, sit in on my chaise, or, you know, lay across my bed and just, you know, unwind for 20 minutes. You know, whatever your ritual is that helps you reduce stress and build up and recover some of your energy, I want to know those stories. And you can email those stories to me at info@TanyaMitchellPeel.com.
Now, Tanya, you said you're working on a book. Do you have a publisher, or are you self-publishing, or what are you planning to do where that's concerned?
Well, I plan to shop for a publisher, so I don't have a publisher right now. But if there are any publishers listening and are interested in this concept, you know, do get in contact with me. But I do plan to go the traditional publishing route.
Okay, that's wonderful. Now, do you have a time frame, or are you just getting started in your project? At what phase?
I am about halfway through my project. I would like to continue collecting stories for the next 6 months, so, you know, up until, November or so of this year, and then, you know, spend the last few months of the year, November, December, sort of wrapping everything up, and then start shopping the book in January 2009.
Okay. Wow, that sounds great. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And Tony, did you have anything to add before I?
Well, I was just going to ask Tanya from a male perspective. I know you said you do work with men, and men's eating habits have a tendency to be a little different. Especially if you're that meat and potato kind of guy, your health concerns and issues are a little bit different. What kinds of things would you say to those men out there that have those different kinds of habits? I mean, eating is the problem anyway, and they still suffer from the depressions and still suffer
right.
from the stress, but how it affects their colon and how it affects their prostate and all those things and what they take in. Any advice for that?
Yeah, as far as the quality of food for men, the quality can be the same. You know, fresh fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low-fat dairy, lean fish, you know, rich in omega-3s. So the quality of the food can be the same, you know, for male or female. Generally, men are able to take in a couple of extra calories than women. And if you're very, very active, which, you know, sometimes men's exercise tends to be maybe sometimes a little bit more vigorous than most women, you can take in, again, a few extra calories. But definitely, you know, like you were saying, the fiber is really important for colon cancer, but, you know, that's equally important for women.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, the quality of food, realizing a few extra calories, not 1,000 extra calories, and also paying attention to that midsection weight or your girth, you know, weight in your girth, you know, that's very, very important. for men, as you know, as it is for women, just, you know, paying attention to minimizing excess fat in that area. And then, you know, same thing as far as, you know, unplugging, recovering, renewing, you know, men can benefit from that too. You know, a lot of our roles are crisscrossing, you know, for men and women as far as, you know, maintaining the household and taking care of kids. We're sharing those roles a lot more than we've, you know, typically done in the past. So unplugging and just kind of, you know, decompressing for men can also help tremendously to reduce stress.
Thank you very much.
That's great. That's wonderful. And I know there are some practical ways that women can eat in more and eat out less because, you know, like you said earlier, eating out is a major culprit for causing weight problems. So can you offer, in the last 5 minutes of our show, can you offer any good practical ways that women can eat in more? Now, I know I would like to tell my listeners that I have been to Tanya's website many times, and she has some great recipes that if you'd like to talk about some of your recipes, Tanya, or even some other suggestions you have for eating in and making your eating in just as exciting as eating out.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, you have to be upfront and honest. It does take time. It takes more time.
It really does. And commitment.
Yeah, it's a commitment. And there's no way to, you know, really dance around that. It's a commitment, and it takes time, and it takes planning.
That's right.
You know, that's really the biggest key. You know, you have to be really good at planning your grocery list, you know, stopping by the grocery store a couple of times a week, visiting your local farmer's market. And, you know, some tricks, you know, when you cook vegetables, you know, if it's a stir fry or, you know, really any type of vegetable, cook extra vegetables that you can use maybe another night. Same thing with whole grains, whether it be brown rice or couscous or quinoa. Millet, any of those grains, cook some extra because that type of thing stores well in the refrigerator. Same thing for meats. If you're cooking, you know, just a simple meat, say grilled chicken, that's very versatile. Grilled shrimp is very versatile. Now, if you're cooking something, you know, in a lot of sauce, you know, there's not much you can do with that. But if it's just simply grilled or baked, those type items are very versatile. You can throw it in a wrap one day. You can, you know, actually have it as, you know, as a main dish with some vegetables and rice around it. If you have chicken, you can kind of cut it up and put it in a salad. So try to do things that are versatile. And when you plan meals, think ahead and plan for a couple of meals versus just cooking in isolation every single night, because that will be overwhelming. But if you're cooking and you realize, okay, I know I can eat this tonight, I can have this for lunch, and then I can do a little something else with it tomorrow night for dinner, that's three meals right there, and it doesn't seem as daunting and overwhelming as if you know, okay, I got to cook something today, tomorrow, the next day, you know, every single day. I mean, that can be overwhelming.
And do you have some of your recipes on your website?
I believe I have one up there right now. And if you've been visiting my site, you know, over the past couple of months or so, you'll find that I really like low-carb Mediterranean-style cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan because, you know, I truly believe the Mediterranean-style diet. And I hate diet because it's not really a diet, but that's
exactly
just what it's called.
Right.
It's more, you know, just the eating patterns of, you know, people from the Mediterranean. But that's a really, really good diet, and it's, you know, rich in all the foods that I was just mentioning, and olive oil, and, you know, good fishes,
right,
like salmon. So many of my recipes will have that theme, and I try to rotate those recipes, you know, every, you know, couple of weeks or so.
Right. And
if you go to the links page on my website, there I do have a listing of several Mediterranean related websites that are rich in recipes. So if it's not actually on my site, you can visit one of the links on the links page for a number of recipes.
Right. And I do agree when you say it takes commitment, and it is going to require change, and it's going to require commitment, and you have to be focused. This is something that is not going to happen overnight, and that's why I explained when we first started that fad dieting is not going to work. And I know we're coming up on our last few seconds in the show. Tanya, I want to thank you so much for being our guest.
You are welcome. I have truly, truly enjoyed it, and I hope I've given some women and men callers, you know, a bit of inspiration and insight.
You have done a super. you've done an absolutely superb job. And, Tony, of course, you know, we're going to be here again next week with another wonderful show. We're going to talk about how to heal loneliness and rejection, and we're looking very much forward to that. And thank you so much for listening to us. We really appreciate everyone being so supportive of our show. We are here for you, and please contact myself, contact Tanya with any questions, and if there's anything that we can do for you, that's what we're here for.
And also, so, if they have a renewal story, send that as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Please do that. So we want to sign off for now, and I want to leave you with this quote because it's very applicable to our show today. Success isn't a destination, it's a journey. Please keep that in. We're signing off. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we'll see you same time next week. Thank you.